You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
My heart was really heavy while we were at home with the baby, and I was in the scriptures, I was reading books, and a book. I didn't read books. I'm not that cool. I read a book, and I didn't even read it. I listened to it, so it was even cheaper, you know. But like, I was doing this stuff, and this scripture just came up, and I'll be honest with you, I got tripped out. How many of you guys have ever read the scriptures and got tripped out? Anyone in here before? Yeah, five of us. The rest of y'all are like Pharisees, I think, or something. I don't know. You guys just know too well. Look, man, I read this scripture and I know this scripture, but how many of you guys believe that Jesus is going to come back someday? Anyone in here believe that? Yeah. I'm going to be real, man. I believe God's coming back. And for a lot of us, that is a celebration. Amen. Isn't that so cool? He came once and all these people miss him. I hope this time we don't miss him. You guys know what I'm talking about? I am so excited that Jesus is coming back. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in church, right? And when you grow up in church, you hear the same thing over, Jesus is coming back soon. I mean, guys, my age heard Jesus will be coming back in our generation. This is the generation. You guys remember hearing that? Yeah. Yeah. You guys were evangelicals. You weren't at the Baptist church. You had the evangelical churches, those guys. But check this out, man. We were told over and over, this is the generation, the Lord's coming back. You better be ready. And we watched all these movies as kids. You remember the movie Left Behind and the airplane? Remember that? The pilot disappears? Like, it was scary, dude, hearing this stuff, man. And I know the end time's coming, but there's something that we've all kind of done, you know? We're kind of like, well, God's coming back. I believe it, but I don't. You know, it seems far away, you know. They've been saying that. Paul wrote that in the scriptures 2,000 years ago, you know. He's like, hey, guys, watch out. He's coming soon. We are near the end times, right? He's writing that down. And that was generations ago. And you and I, if you grew up like me, I know for me, I grew up thinking, oh, God's coming back. I thought maybe I wouldn't make it till I was 20. I would legitimately pray when I was a kid, God, just let me get married. You know, anyone in here like in love with love? Anyone in here? Yeah, I was like runaway bride every night by myself. Like, I love love, right? And so I'm like, man, God, I just want to get married. Don't come back. I begged him. I legitimately begged him because I was tripped out, man. God's coming back any day, you know? And everyone was preaching it. It wasn't like crazy preachers. It's anyone who believed in the Bible was preaching it. So I was like, oh, gosh, you know? And then as I turned 18 and 19, my self-righteousness kind of changed, if you will. All of a sudden, I was like, I don't need to be married. I will never marry. I will serve the Lord God all my life, you know? And I started making all these wild commitments, and I started begging them to come back. But deep in my heart, I just had this thought. He didn't come back yet, and he's probably not going to come back later. Like, he will, but I'll probably be old enough to have grandkids before he shows up. In fact, no joke, just before I read the scripture about 2 weeks ago, I was literally thinking, I wonder if my kids' kids will see the Lord's return. That's what I thought. Because every generation, my brother Mike and I have talked about this, me and Mike don't talk about Jesus, but me and Micah do. And me and Mike were talking about, man, you know, sometimes we think about the Lord, but I mean, every generation thinks the Lord's coming for their generation. And so what do? We take the end times and we just kind of push it to the side and like, well, let's just talk about today. Let's not worry about the future just yet. Let's just take care of our duties today. And I think there's something really important about doing that. You guys hear me on that? You need to take care of your today duties. You need to take care of what's before you. But I read this scripture because I had to wrestle with this thought about God coming back and whether or not I really believe it soon. And let's be real, if God's coming back soon, how many of you guys would change a few things in your life? Anyone in here? I think most of us would. If God said, hey, you know, give us a phone call, you know, like, hey, guys, I'm coming in, you know, in 2 days. You know, and I'm coming to bring my redeemed and come against the wicked. You and I would change. We would. There would be an urgency to tell people about Jesus. Wouldn't there? There would be an urgency. Could you imagine If you know the day he's returning and it's soon and you go, man, I personally got friends and family that I want to witness to, but I've just kind of been tearing because I have this idea that I have so much time ahead of me. Heck, I got dreams and visions about, you know, what God's called me to do and to be really radical for God. You know, I always talk about being really, like, actually believing the scriptures. And I tarry, I go slow to it because it's like, well, I got time. He's not here yet. But if I believed he was coming, everything would change. Probably the main thing that would change in my life would be how much I'm storing up on earth for my retirement. How much I'm storing up for my safety. And so I'm wrestling with this thought, if I could just be honest with you, I don't know if I really fully believe he's coming back soon. I've made my wager, I've made my bet. The odds are he hasn't this entire time, so he's probably not anytime soon either. They were all wrong, so what makes me think I'll be right? And so I'm reading the scriptures, and I'm reading a book, and I read this scripture right here, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And I just want to read it to you. This scripture is what we call prophecy. What it is, it's a promise of the time to come. And we're going to start a series on Wednesday nights pretty soon. I'm actually really excited about this series. We're going to talk about why the gifts. We're going to talk about why healing, why prophecy, why these things are. But one of the things about prophecy, why God tells us things, is that when we see it, that we would know that he's in the midst of it. That when we hear from him, that this is the time that's coming. And when you read, have you guys ever read Revelations? Anyone in here read Revelations? Crazy stuff, right? Yeah. Some dragon woman man thing happening, you know what I'm saying? Bowls being poured out. Yeah, it's all wacko stuff. But I read this scripture, and we'll put it on the screen. I'm actually just going to read a whole 16, 17 verses. It's one chapter. And I'll break up some of it, but I don't know if there's much I need to break up. Today's hope was to spur you on a little bit, because if I recognize that I'm not any higher or lower than anyone in this place, I'm an equal sinner. I'm not more righteous because of position. I'm still the sheep following the shepherd. I just have a responsibility. It doesn't make me a higher or lower. And because I know that, I look at you and go, if I've kind of slid away from this idea that he's returning anytime soon, or he's going to return before I die, then I know that at least some of you have done the same thing. I know that. And the reason why I know that is because you have these great dreams of doing things. They're not bad things, but you're planning towards them. And the one thing I've noticed about wild Christians and Christians who could be martyrs, who would go into places and die, is because they believed that it was better to die. Can I just hit on that for a second, Christians? The sign that you believe this thing for real, death no longer has anything on you. No fear, no sorrow. Did you know that? It's a true sign of a believer. Oh, death, where is your sting? Let me read this to you. But know this, that in the last days, talking about the days before the Lord comes, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. This one's crazy to me. It even made a list. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. They will be unforgiving and slanderers. They will have no self-control. They'll be brutal, despisers of good. They'll be traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Oh my gosh. And from such people, it says, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jairus resisted Moses, well, I'll stop right there. You probably never read those names in the Bible, but Jewish tradition says that those are the magicians who were with Pharaoh when Moses was going up with the staff and stuck the staff down, turned into a snake. Those two put their staffs down, they turned into a snake. And you guys know the story, hopefully. And these guys resisted Moses. Says, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, they will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We're going to read into chapter 4. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I read you verse by verse, a chapter and a half about what the end times are going to look like. And the problem with this scripture, when I read that scripture, is not that's what the world looks like. That's what I look like. Man, that first one rocks my world. Men will be lovers of themselves. There was a quote that I seethed that. I hated this quote, and I get what they're trying to say, but it was so misleading. That scripture says, love others as you love yourself. And I had all these people, it was a season of it. I still hear it. Well, before you can love others, you have to love yourself. Now, I remember hearing that, and it just not setting right with me. Love yourself. Can I just be honest with you? You love yourself more than anybody else loves you. I know that. You might have doubt and insecurities, but y'all, you think about you more than you think about anybody. I know this. I too am a sinner saved by grace. My son Gideon hated that. Lovers of money. Aha. Listen, I'm not asking you to give up all your money to be a Christian. I'm not saying that. But you know what the lovers of money is? Being driven to have more of it, because that's how you define success. I got to have my resources. And the Lord says, I am your resource. Boasters, man. my generation, my age, and younger, kind of just maybe the older generation too, but I know my generation, we have entire social media programs set for one intention, self-glorification. And I know that sounds strong, but it was crazy to the generation above us when Instagram came out and selfies was a thing. People were always, older people were always going, selfies, why do you want a selfie? You know, that's a weird thing to do. Why would I want a picture of myself, you know? Because there was a different time, I don't know if you, the older generation might remember this, but there was a different time where when you had a camera, you didn't take photos of yourself. You took photos of things you wanted to remember. Do you remember that? Yeah. And that's why at home, for the younger generation, your family has a million pictures of them at a park of trees and weird stuff, you know? They thought, oh, I want to remember this tree, and they took a picture of it. But we have social media built for our own boasting of our lives. Proud. Can I tell you what proud means? Proud means this. It means that you elevate yourself more than you ought. That you're more than you're supposed to. Can I tell you the theme and the anthem right now? Be proud of who you are regardless of the flaws. In fact, be proud of the flaws. Blasphemers. That wasn't Jesus. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful is the sign of the end. Unthankfulness. Having no gratitude. And can I just go backwards for a second? I hear people all the time talk about their parents with unthankfulness. I don't care. They messed up my life. No, bro, they gave you life. All my parents, amen on that. All my kids, okay. Unholy. You know what it means in the end times that the church will look unholy? That they're not separated from the world. That's what holiness means, that they look different from the world. Think about that for a second. How often are you trying to be approved by those in the world? That you adjust your life for approval? He said, no, this is the sign of the end times, that they will be unholy. They won't separate themselves. No, they'll intertwine with the unrighteous. They will be unloving, unforgiving. I can't let that go. They hurt me too much. No. Jesus is the one who says, forgive. Forgive, for I forgive you. Let it go. Don't hold it against them anymore. When you look at them, that offense is no longer how you judge them. Unforgiveness, though, has crept in. Let me go. And can I just say this? Disobedience to parents and unforgiveness and unlovingness, we have okayed it based on circumstances. Can I say it again? I'm not talking about them out there. I'm talking about us. Based on the circumstance, we've done what's called situational ethics. Thank you, Mom. You came through clutch. And that means you came through on time. I know that was a word that's young. We say, well, I get why you don't forgive them. That was pretty bad. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says the sign is unforgiveness will creep into this place. Slanders, talking trash. Talking, can I say? Not warning people. I want to make this clear. Not warning people about false teachers. That's good. No. You trash them. You have no love for those teachers that you slander. In fact, you call them your enemy, and then you have even less love, knowing that the Scriptures directs us, love your enemies. Without self-control, gosh, has there ever been a generation with so much addiction? I'm not talking drugs. I'm talking thoughts. Can't control them when you walk into a place. When you lay in your bed, your thoughts are uncontrollable. Oh, gosh. Oh, it gets worse, though, guys. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. I didn't want to do all of them, so I'm skipping up to this one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Can I just confess to you how many times the Holy Spirit has drawn me to get in my word? And I said, but this is more pleasurable to sit here. I love my pleasures more than I love being with you, Holy Spirit. Oh, I know I'm not alone, man. I do this even, guys, sometimes with church. I go, oh, I don't want to go to church. I'd rather sleep. And no, let's forget church. Let's do prayer. I know I should be sitting with the Lord because I love him. I can't get into prayer because pleasure is so good to me. This movie sounds good. This sleep feels great. Most of us can't go a few days without pleasure. Fasting is unheard of most of the time in our lives because it's unpleasurable. And we don't know. I don't want to be inconvenienced. It's unpleasurable. And God says, no, this is the sign of the end times, that you would rather be lovers of pleasures than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Hey, look, I'm just telling you the scripture. I'm not even going anywhere with this thing, right? Yeah, I'm going to end it here in a second. A form of godliness? This one hits me pretty hard. A form of godliness. I think a lot of us, if we're to sit back and really examine our hearts, right, and if we're to lay in our bed and we're to meditate on who we are with the Lord, I think a lot of us would start seeing something inside of us. Man, I'm not godly. I got a lot of things I got to work on. But then we'll walk into buildings, we'll see fellow Christians, and we will take on the form of the godliness we know we are lacking. Denying its power, hiding sin in our lives. So we can look good on the outside, but denying that there's a power in the godliness of God to take out that sin, but we keep denying it. And this is what the scripture says. And from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Having all this knowledge of the scriptures. This one gets me too. We were raised in the church. Yeah, come on. We're raised in the church, a lot of us, and you have all this knowledge, but you never have come to the realization of the truth of the gospel. Oh, I know what the scripture says about adultery with my eyes, but the truth has never come to me. I know what it says about division. I know what it says about unforgiveness. I have the knowledge, but it's never been truth. It's never directed my life. They're just like Jannes and Jambres who resisted Moses. What those guys did was they could do the same miracles as Moses did. They could do the same cool tricks. And what they did is they used that to prove that God of Moses and Abraham wasn't that strong. There were other ways to do it. Resisting the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Disapproved concerning the faith. This one guy, hey, listen, I know this is a heavy sermon. We had all these praise songs, and originally I wasn't going to preach this. I thought, well, this is such a praise day, but I couldn't shake it this morning. I had to preach it because I know that the end times are here. And it goes on and says, man, you know, these things are really bad and you need to stay away from these. And these are imposters and they're going to grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived more and more. It's going to get worse and worse. But then it gives us instruction. It says, but you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of. And knowing from whom you've learned these things, that from childhood you've known Psalm 23. You've known John 3:16. You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You have the Scriptures before you. And you say, man, this thing right here will make you wise unto salvation. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And it goes on, all Scriptures are given by inspiration, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. And then he goes, I charge you now before God and before Christ, who's going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing, at his coming. He's going to judge everybody. He said, this is what you ought to do. Preach the word, not your advice. Not, you know, this is how you should, you know, think about your dad that you're unforgiving towards. No, he says, preach the word. Take your Bibles and preach it. It says, be ready in and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. That means patience, kindness, and teaching. For the time will come where you'll tell them sound doctrine and they will not deal with you. But they will only go with their own desires because they have itching ears. They don't bring teachers around them that will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But church, you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists. And finally, church, fulfill your ministry. I started with, it's hard to believe the end is here because I've heard about it for so long. I've heard about it for so long. And so I dismiss the end and I go, well, I want to plan up my life and I'm going to prioritize these things. And I don't want to shame that because I don't know if there's a lack of wisdom in that. I think there's wisdom in that, but there's this other part that we got to nail out. Are you waiting to fulfill your ministry because you've been fooled into thinking that the Lord's return is still far off? And he's looking at you and I'm looking at you today. I'm going, I just read this one chapter, just one chapter. It's not like I read the Bible. I just read one little part. It says, this is your sign. This is your sign. And here's what's crazy. When I read that, I don't think there was one of those that you heard that you didn't go, yeah, I see it. I see it blatantly. I see it flooding through our church. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about the church as I'm Christians. I see it going through the unbeliever. I see it on the news. This is the glorified thing right now. Every one of these things. And it's not like it's just in our country, you know, because there's this idea that back in the day, Greece was really bad. And they did whatever they pleasured them, right? And they fell and they died and a different morality came over as a different kingdom took over. But today, we're in a totally different generation. The entire world's morality is being directed together through the internet. And now when we look at this thing, it's not just, oh, this nation over here is dealing with boastfulness. No. Even in Lebanon, even in these foreign countries that are small and no one could go to, they too are walking the same signs. So what are you and I to do? What are we to do? Preach the word. Fulfill your ministry. You know what that means? That means stop looking to and fro. It means that you today and me today should be getting in our Bibles going, I gotta know this thing. I gotta preach it. The time is too near. It's closer than it's ever been. And I gotta fulfill the ministry that you put in my heart, Lord. Maybe my ministry is the widow and the orphan. Maybe my ministry is to be just someone who's available to pray, Maybe my ministry is that I'm supposed to go, like the young lady I talked to last night, to go minister to those who are stuck in trafficking and drug addiction. Maybe your ministry is to be out home raising up your kids in the Word of God. But that is what you should be doing. Release everything else. I got to know the Word, and I got to go fulfill my ministry. I got to know the Word, and I got to preach it, and I got to fulfill my ministry. The end is here. I see the signs, those forms of godliness. People are surrounding themselves with teachers who okay sin and lying and disobedience to parents and say no, but it's worth the ethical, whatever, the circumstantial ethics. You and I have a calling. Preach the Word and fulfill your ministry. Why don't we all stand to our feet? We close our eyes. So I just want to take a moment by ourselves for a second. I only have you close your eyes because I don't want anyone to feel pressure. I always close my eyes with you guys, and I have to be careful I don't fall. I just read that scripture in Timothy. I'm going to be honest with you. There's things that since I've been studying that word and reading it and sitting in it, I can't seem to be able to shake some of the things that were said in there that I've okayed in my personal life and even in my public life. And I've surrounded myself with people who would agree with me. You know, I'm talking about like, no, it's okay to be unforgiving. It's okay to whatever. I think a few of us in here, we just need to take this next moment. We're not going to, you know, if you want to come to the altars, I always leave the altars open. You can come to the altar. You can sit in your chair or stand next to it right there. It doesn't matter. What matters is not the posture of your physical body, but the posture right now of your heart towards the Lord. And can we just take a moment? And can we just posture ourselves to say, Father, am I taking on a form of godliness but denying its power? And I just want everyone in here, just for a moment, can we just start examining our heart before the Lord? And the altars are open. If you want to have an altar, I believe in the altar, but you can do it wherever you're at. And let's just take this moment while I'm talking to start saying, God, have I been the signs of these times? But maybe you haven't been the signs of the times, but maybe you've been denying that he's going to return soon. And you've gotten comfortable and your urgency has been ruined. And his return has been something that will happen way before or after you. And you've been denying his return. Maybe this is just a moment that we could just ask the Lord, Lord, stir it in our hearts. You've given us your word. You've shown us the signs that would come. There has not been a time like there is today. And I know some of us will have the enemy say in our minds, yeah, but they said that forever. But forever is true. There has never been a time like today. Lord, let us see.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. Until next time, be blessed and go do the great things God has called you to do.